Right now on VFN TV, we're going to go straight to AIPAC's annual meeting in Washington, and we're going to hear from UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, Vice President Mike Pence, and a special address from Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
So what Trump did was, Trump was risen up as the door was closing and judgment was coming on America, and we were heading down that road where our economy would have absolutely spiraled out of existence. And God put a mercy visit instead. He put a hard-nosed, prophetic Cyrus who stands there at the door and says, no, there's going to be an extension of peace and grace on America.
Whoever gets in, people are going to say, what?
I don't want to sound overly melodramatic, but this is probably the most astonishing night of American politics.
I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying.
How did this happen? What? What is going on? What?
But the Lord showed me in this particular night vision, this dream, we were in this courtroom. The evil one was on trial. And the prosecutor looks at us and says, he's going to get convicted. And then all of a sudden, he turns it back towards the judge. And as soon as he turns to the judge, the gavel comes down. And the entire courtroom begins to feel like slices of gold, thin slices of gold, just started raining down in the courtroom nonstop. And he turns around to us. You can't even see across the courtroom. He points at us and says, I told you it was coming. When God deals with the evil one, the resources get released. There's going to be great resources coming.
We will be protected by God.
The name of Jesus got more attention that day than any inauguration I can ever remember.
In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Your heavenly Father, respectfully in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill.
And this is the breakthrough year.
Breakthroughs. There's that word breakthrough again.
The Lord told me there's a year of incredible breakthroughs coming to us. Long-awaited victories for us.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength. And it is a message deeply delivered from my heart.
Well, I think the president, it's no secret, has made it very clear that he's a pro-life president. He wants to stand up for all Americans, including the unborn. And I think the reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well, and ensures that we're standing up not just for life of the unborn, but for also taxpayer funds that are being spent overseas to perform an action that is contrary to the values of this president. I think continue to further illustrate, not just to the folks here in this country, but around the world, what a value we place on life.
Life is winning again. In America.
What I hear most often as I travel the country are five words that never ever fail to touch my heart. That's, I am praying for you. I hear it so often. I am praying for you, Mr. President. Our republic was formed on the basis that freedom is not a gift from government, but that freedom is a gift from God. For us here in Washington, we must never, ever stop asking God for the wisdom to serve the public according to His will.
The alliance between Israel and America has always been extremely strong. It's about to get even stronger.
One of the big issues is the embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. How important is it to repair this relationship, and what about that move of the embassy?
It's repaired.
It's repaired already. It
got repaired as soon as I
took within 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's you.
I've known the president and I've known his family and his team for a long time. And there is no greater supporter of the Jewish people and the Jewish state than President Donald Trump. I think we should put that to rest.
He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again.
We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. A quote by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. In 1955, he told the world, "We are determined to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." Each American generation passes the torch of truth, liberty, and justice in an unbroken chain all the way down to the present. That torch is now in our hands, and we will use it to light up the world.
I dare not trust the sweetest flame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolaszewski. We want to go straight into today's program talking about AIPAC and their annual gathering. If you don't know, AIPAC stands for the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. And just to give us a background and kind of bring you up to speed about who they are and what their mission is all about, I want you to watch this.
This is Israel. The Jewish state is in a dangerous neighborhood and under constant threat from rockets, terrorists, and those seeking its destruction. Israel relies on its ally America in order to confront all challenges it faces. And the best way to guarantee that the United States continues to stand by Israel is through bipartisan support in Congress. That is where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC is focused exclusively on strengthening the U.S.-Israel relationship. Because Israel's security is too important to risk only working with one party or the other, we work with both parties to ensure Democrats and Republicans come together to keep Israel safe. AIPAC members nationwide, which include Americans of all ages, faiths, and races, build personal ties with senators and representatives to ensure that we are effective in strengthening America and Israel. We influence American policy, not by rating or endorsing candidates, but by educating them. This ensures that no matter which party is in power, there is consensus that Israel's security is an American priority that both Democrats and Republicans support. You can make a difference. Talk to an AIPAC staff member or visit our website to learn more about how you can help keep Israel safe, strong, and secure.
Well, let's go straight to AIPAC now and hear from the UN ambassador, Nikki Haley, who is also being known for as Haley's Comet, and you'll know why. Watch this.
You recently said that any resolution of the Syrian civil war should not leave Iran in any control of territory or influence in territory where it could pose a threat to America's allies, including Israel. So from your perspective, at the UN, what is the attitude about the enforcement of the Iran deal and how to hold Iran accountable? Most importantly, how do you hold Iran accountable for the deal and for the threats it's posing?
It's concerning. And the reason it's concerning is because when the Iran deal took place, all it did was empower Iran and it empowered Russia. And it emboldened Iran to feel like they could get away with more. It is, you can put sanctions on a country. To take sanctions away, it's very hard to go back and put sanctions back on. So what we have said is we're going to watch them like a hawk. We're going to make sure that every single thing they do is watched, processed, and dealt with. But my concern is you are seeing a lot of love for the Iran deal in the Security Council. And that's unfortunate. And why that was ever allowed to go through, why that was ever passed, is beyond me. I mean, it was terrible.
I want to quote from your first remarks, your first public remarks as ambassador. You said, regarding those countries, those nations that don't have America's back at the UN, I think everyone was sort of stunned when you said this, because you said, quote, we're taking names. You said, we're taking names, and we will make points to respond to that accordingly. So specifically, what can the United States do? What can the ambassador for the United States do to hold countries accountable to, as you said, to address the fact that many of them don't have America's back at the UN?
You want to see my list, don't you?
Yeah. We only have a little bit of time, but you know.
You know, basically what it comes down to is I'm not there to play. And what I wanted to make sure of was that the United States started leading again. And leading isn't saying and doing things when it's comfortable. Leading, saying and doing things when it's not comfortable. So the goal was have the backs of our allies. Never again do what we saw happen with Resolution 2334 and make anyone question our support. When Resolution 2334 happened and the U.S. abstained, the entire country felt a kick in the gut. We had just done something that showed the United States at its weakest point ever. Never do we not have the backs of our friends. We don't have a greater friend than Israel. And to see that happen was not only embarrassing, it was hurtful. And so what I can tell you is everyone at the United Nations is scared to talk to me about Resolution 2334. And I wanted them to know that, look, that happened, but it will never happen again. So to answer the question on what can we do at the UN, we can do a lot. The power of your voice is an amazing thing. So one, changing the culture of the UN is very important. And the way you change the culture of the UN is the United States tells them what we're not going to put up with. We start to change the culture to what we should be talking about. And then we actually act on what we say. I wear heels. It's not for a fashion statement. It's because if I see something wrong, we're going to kick them every single time. So how are we kicking? We're kicking by, number one, putting everybody on notice, saying that if you have our back, we're going to have the backs of our friends, but our friends need to have our back too. If you challenge us, be prepared for what you're challenging us for, because we will respond. The next thing we did was we said, the days of Israel bashing are over. We have a lot of things to talk about. There are a lot of threats to peace and security, but you're not going to take our number one democratic friend in the Middle East and beat up on them. And I think what you're seeing is they're all backing up a little bit. The Israel bashing is not as loud. They didn't know exactly what I meant outside of giving the speech, so we showed them. So when they decided to try and put a Palestinian in one of the highest positions that had ever been given at the UN, we said no, and we had him booted out. That doesn't mean he wasn't a nice man. That doesn't mean he wasn't good to America. What it means is, until the Palestinian Authority comes to the table, until the UN responds the way they're supposed to, there are no freebies for the Palestinian Authority anymore. So then they tested us again, and a ridiculous report, the Falk report, came out. I don't know who the guy is or what he's about, but he's got serious problems. Goes and compares Israel to an apartheid state. So the first thing we do is we call the Secretary General and say, this is absolutely ridiculous. You have to pull it. The Secretary General immediately pulled the report, and then the director has now resigned. Last thing. So for anyone that says you can't get anything done at the UN, they need to know there's a new sheriff in town.
Last question. I think this crowd would be thrilled to hear you for hours, but we're going to days, weeks, months. You, when you were governor of South Carolina, signed into law the first anti-BDS legislation signed in any state capital in South Carolina, any state capital in America. This is an issue that is close to your heart. Now, with your new position, what do you think could be done to continue and escalate the fight against those who want to delegitimize Israel through the BDS movement?
I think we have to show how absurd it is. We have to basically show, just in common sense terms, if you want to boycott North Korea, I get it. If you want to have divestments and pull something away from Syria, do it. If you want to talk about other issues that we're dealing with, I can understand that. But Israel? You know, and I number one, I appreciate all the support and kindness and everything that you've given to me. But all I did was tell the truth. And if you want to continue to support me, which I greatly appreciate, understand that by telling the truth and showing the power of your voice and putting action behind it, there's nothing we can't change. So with the BDS movement that we were able to stop in South Carolina, we're going to continue to take that to the UN and make sure that they understand that is not what we need to be focused on.
The days of Israel bashing are over at the UN. There's a new sheriff in town. It's wonderful to see the change in our policy. And I'm telling you, we're going to stand with Israel. When we get back from this break, you're going to be hearing Vice President Mike Pence address AIPAC, and you're going to be so encouraged to hear his position and the president's position on Israel. Join us when you get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The difference between God as a concept and God as a living reality is that a concept is something you believe in. You certainly believe in it, but it's like an accessory. It's like a credit card. It's a gym membership. I control it, and I shape it to meet my life and my needs, right? So I'm still in control. But God as a living reality is an objective truth to which you mold your life to.
Right.
And that was a big difference. And that set a lot of things in motion, especially understanding, a new understanding of the Ten Commandments.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the Data Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the Torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFN TV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFN TV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Steve Kalaszewski. Haley's Comet.
Yes.
Man, wow, amazing to have.
Clearly understandable how she gets that name.
Yeah,
I
that
love
type
the
of
boldness.
Representative.
Yes.
Those days are over for bashing mm-hmm. Israel. We want to take you straight to Vice President Mike Pence's speech at AIPAC. Watch this.
And let me just say, it's actually very hard for me to express before those friends of so many years the profound humility and gratitude I feel to stand before you tonight as the 48th Vice President of the United States of America. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. And it's the greatest honor of my life to serve as Vice President to President Donald Trump. I'm proud to call him my friend. I'm proud to call him my president, but honestly, I was never more proud than when at the outset of his very first joint address to Congress, President Trump paused to condemn threats and acts of vandalism against Jewish communities across America. He reminded us boldly that, quote, while we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all its very ugly forms. And President Donald Trump is a man of his word. And he's a man of action. For the first time in a long time, America has a president who will stand with our allies and stand up to our enemies. And under President Donald Trump, if the world knows nothing else, the world will know this. America stands with Israel. President Trump and I stand with Israel for the same reason every freedom-loving American stands with Israel. Because her cause is our cause. Her values are our values. And her fight is our fight. And President Trump is a lifelong friend of Israel. I've seen it firsthand, the president's deep affection for Israel and all who cherish her. It was the morning after the election. I was in the room when Prime Minister Netanyahu called to congratulate the president on that great victory. I heard President Trump express his unwavering support for Israel and the Jewish people, support he would reiterate last month when he welcomed the Prime Minister to the White House to reaffirm the enduring bond between our nations and our peoples. As President Trump said then, America's alliance with Israel is, quote, remarkably strong. But in his usual style, he said he is confident that it will be even stronger and reach even greater heights. Now, for my part, my Christian upbringing compels me to cherish Israel. The songs of the land and the people of Israel were the anthems of my youth. My wife and I had the privilege of visiting Israel in 2004 and again in 2008, and we fulfilled a lifelong dream to bring all three of our children to the Holy Land in December of 2014. Let me say from my heart, as for me and my house, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all who call her home. And I say with confidence to all gathered here, President Trump and I stand without apology for Israel, and we always will. I mean, just look at the actions President Trump has taken since he took office. Like when he named Governor Nikki Haley to be America's ambassador to the United Nations. As you'll hear tomorrow night, Ambassador Haley is already fighting tirelessly to end the one-sided actions at the UN that unfairly target Israel. And under President Trump, the United States will no longer allow the United Nations to be used as a forum for invective against Israel or the West. Or how about when President Trump named David Friedman to represent the United States of America in Israel? David is an unabashed advocate for a stronger Israel-America relationship, and our friendship will be stronger after he gets sworn in as ambassador. And I gotta tell you, I just can't wait. This week, it will be my high honor to administer the oath of office to Ambassador David Friedman. And know this, after decades of simply talking about it, the President of the United States is giving serious consideration to moving the American Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But let me be clear. President Trump is also invested in finding an equitable and just solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Just a few weeks ago, the President dispatched Jason Greenblatt, his special representative for international negotiations, to visit Israel and the Palestinian territories and to bring a message that President Trump is committed to forging a lasting peace in the Middle East. Just last week, Jason hosted a senior Israeli delegation led by Prime Minister Netanyahu's chief of staff to continue these discussions. And while there will undoubtedly have to be compromises, I can assure you all, President Trump will never compromise the safety and security of the Jewish state of Israel. Now, since its founding, the Israeli people have awed the world with their strength of will and their strength of character. And at all times, in war and in peace, the Jewish people have held their heads high. It's because of their valor and their vitality that Israel thrives, a beacon of freedom and prosperity for all the world to see. Every day, in every way, the Jewish people's dignity rebukes all who would condemn them, not for what they do wrong, but for what they do right. And President Trump has made it clear. America stands alongside Israel as friends and as allies, and together we will confront those enemies who threaten our people and all that we hold dear. I'm proud to say today America's support for Israel's security is at a record level. And President Trump has made it absolutely clear. Our commitment to Israel's defense is non-negotiable. Not now, not ever. In fact, my fellow Americans, we have a president who is already busy rebuilding our military, restoring the arsenal of democracy, and we will once again provide our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard with the resources and training they need to accomplish their mission, protect our families, and defend our allies. And in President Trump, America has a leader who will call our enemies by their name. Just last week in London, in the shadow of Parliament, radical Islamic terrorism reared its ugly head, claiming the lives of innocent civilians, including an American. At this very moment, our administration is crafting plans to defeat radical Islamic terrorism so it can no longer bring violence to our enemies, to our allies, or inspire violence here at home. And let me be clear, President Trump is working with our military. The American people can know this. We will hunt down and destroy ISIS at its source so it can no longer threaten our people, our allies, or our most cherished ally, Israel. And finally, under President Donald Trump, America will stand strong in the face of the leading state sponsor of terrorism. This administration has put Iran on notice. America will no longer tolerate Iran's efforts to destabilize the region and jeopardize Israel's security. The Ayatollahs in Tehran openly admit their desire to wipe Israel off the map and drive its people into the sea. For decades, Iran has funneled weapons and cash to terrorists in Lebanon, Syria, and the Gaza Strip. They've gone to great lengths to develop nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles. And due to the disastrous end of nuclear-related sanctions under the Iran deal, they now have additional resources to devote to sowing chaos and imperiling Israel. So let me be clear. Under President Donald Trump, the United States of America will not allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. This is our solemn promise to you, to Israel, and to the world. History attests that enmity toward the Jewish people often turns from evil thought to evil action. My family and I paused to reflect on this truth of history just over a month ago while I was representing the United States in Munich, Germany. After attending the security conference, my family and I traveled to the first Nazi concentration camp in Dachau. I'd been there as a young man, but Karen and I wanted our daughter to see it too. We arrived at the camp in an early morning fog, and we were accompanied on our tour by Abbe Noir, a 93-year-old Holocaust survivor who had been imprisoned in Dachau as a 17-year-old boy. As we walked through the camp, Abbe described to me the hellish life he endured, toiling away as a slave, while those around him were taken away, one by one, never to return. And then he stopped, looked up at me, with tears in his eyes, and said words I'll never forget. He said, "Then the Americans came." I was so proud. Those words underscored the imperative of American strength, and they powerfully remind us of the immutable bond between our people and the people of Israel. Under President Trump's leadership, America will be strong, stronger than ever before. And as the president said not long ago, our nation's friendship with Israel will grow even stronger. Together, we will reach even greater heights to the benefit of our two peoples and the world. We stand with Israel today and every day because our bond was knit millennia ago in the finery of faith. Over the mantle of our home since the year I was first elected to Congress are framed words that have long inspired our little family. We had them in our home in a small town in Indiana. We had them in the governor's residence. And now they're displayed over the mantle in the home of the Vice President of the United States. They come from the book of Jeremiah, and they read, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you."
That's amazing. We want to make sure we have this on its entirety for you on the torch. But you're hearing Vice President Mike Pence at AIPAC, and it's so encouraging. He says, and under President Trump, if the world knows nothing else, the world will know this. America stands with Israel.
Praise God.
There's a new shift in policy, which is so important. Mm-hmm. Listen, as we bless Israel, we are going to be blessed. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, you're going to be listening to and watching Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But before we go to break, I want to share with you our special offer. We want to send this to you, for you, for any amount, your partnership. This is called I Will Fight, 7 Strategies for Success. You will be blessed by this. Get your copy today.
Offer 2030, I Will Fight. 7 fighting steps for success. There is nothing worth more celebrating than for someone who stepped up against all odds and fought life and all its obstacles and broke through with success. In this message, you'll be inspired, encouraged, but also challenged as we're told to fight the good fight of faith. You'll be given 7 key strategies to help you fight effectively and how to succeed. You'll discover how relevant and the expectations of Jesus are directly to you when he explained the kingdom of God and how he entrusted to you certain talents and how he expects us to do something with what he entrusted to us so that what we do brings him glory. You'll learn that as a believer here on this earth, the odds will be stacked against you in the natural, but to look beyond what you see in the natural, knowing that the odds are in your favor all the time. There is so much in this message that it can shift your life and mindsets into the exciting new adventure that God has called you to be in Him. I believe when you listen and absorb this truth, you too will be ready to proclaim as David, Gideon, and so many others, "I will fight." We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to vfntv.com and click on Partner Now. Or you can write to us by mail at VFN TV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida, 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's offer 2030. I will fight. 7 fighting steps for success.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Friends, some of us within the confines of the churches are going to miss the miraculous working of God because we don't expect Him to work. You hear what I said? We're going to miss the miracles of God because we don't expect Him to work. We have learned to be content with our creeds, with our songs, with our sermons, with our business as usual. We no longer expect God to break through. I remember one of my professors of preaching at my graduate studies saying to me, "Remember, as you preach, every sermon is an event. Expect God to break through." Are you willing to trust God for a miracle in your life tonight? What is your relationship between faith and the will? What is the relationship between truth and reality? Do you care for the truth?
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
In Chengdu, there was a little girl who got a hole in her heart. Mm-hmm. And they'd asked us, could we place her in a family? Because they expected her to die. She was skin and bone.
Today on Focus on the Family Minute, Robert Glover shares the story of a young orphan.
I went back, and I can't remember the exact time, but it was sometime later, and she was the picture of health. She was just full of light and cheeky, and they decided, right, well, we can do the test on her heart and do the operation, and she can have a normal life. And they brought the consultant surgeon in, and he took her to do the tests, and I'll never forget him walking out. He lifted his glasses and wiped a tear from his eye, and he said, "I do not understand it, but there's nothing wrong with her heart." And it made national news in China. They called it the miracle baby healed by the love of a mother.
The power of family, the power of love. Robert Glover offers more heartwarming stories at familyminute.org.
Which, by the way, if you haven't gone to the VFN Torchlight, you need to go to vfntv.com. And in the menu, it says VFN Torch. There's all types of aspects to be able to just quick information at a moment's notice. Any topic that you can imagine probably is in there. And a biblical perspective, you know, what's actually happening. But what does the Word of God say about this? Including prophetic words of knowledge and wisdom that has been shared. So if you get a chance, go to vfntv.com and click on the VFN Torch in the menu there.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos. If you're just tuning in, we're at AIPAC. Mm. We just heard the Vice President, Mike Pence, speak. We're going to go right now to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as he addresses AIPAC and talks about some of the wonderful things that are going on in Israel and how our partnership, America's partnership with Israel, makes it all possible. Watch this.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, AIPAC. I wanted to be with you today, but I heard that you have 18,000 participants. And I began to worry that the registration line waiting would be too long. So I'm happy to be with you from Jerusalem. Thank you, APAC. Thank you, Howard Kaur and Lillian Pincus, for your leadership. Thank you to the 4,000 students, the leaders of tomorrow, who have come to the conference today. Thank you to the bipartisan leadership of Congress and to the many members of the House and Senate who have come to show support for the great U.S.-Israel alliance. I take this opportunity to congratulate my friend David Friedman and his wife Tammy. David, I look forward to welcoming you warmly to Israel and especially to Jerusalem. Now, my friends, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Israel has no greater friend than America, and America has no greater friend than Israel. For the security of both Israel and the United States, we must ensure that the forces of militant Islam are defeated. We won't let them drag humanity away from the promise of a bright future to the misery of a dark past. I'm confident that the United States and Israel will stand together, shoulder to shoulder, to ensure that light triumphs over darkness and hope triumphs over despair. That means preventing Iran from ever developing nuclear weapons. That is our policy. It will always be our policy. And our partnership means also confronting Iran's aggression in the region and its terrorism around the world. It means utterly vanquishing ISIS. Not partly, utterly vanquishing ISIS. It means building alliances with moderates in the region, those moderates who seek to build a better future and embrace modernity and peace. In this battle between modernity and medievalism, more and more countries in the region and outside the region, around the world, realize that Israel is on their side. Where terrorism threatens innocent people, Israel is there, with unmatched intelligence and counterterrorism capabilities. When people are suffering from hunger and thirst, as in Africa, Israel is there with technologies that help feed the world's hungry and literally create water out of thin air. Where hackers threaten the critical networks of our lives, our banks, our transportation and power plants, Israel is there with incredible cyber capabilities to help protect all of us. Where natural disasters strike around the world, Israel is there too, with rescue and medical services second to none. I'm proud of the unique contribution Israel is making to the world, a contribution to humanity that vastly exceeds our size. I want to give you an example of that. Last week, Intel Corporation bought an Israeli company, Mobileye. This is a company that produces driverless car technologies, the technology of the future. Now, Intel not only paid this Israeli company $15 billion, it also did something else. It gave them the keys. It said, you, Mobileye, in Israel, in Jerusalem, not far from my office, you manage and direct all our driverless car companies around the world. Because you see, as this example shows, and as you can see from many, many, many other cases, Israel is fast becoming a global technological power. And we're very, very proud of this. Now, all of this is possible because of Israeli ingenuity and Israeli determination. It's the same ingenuity and determination that has built our strong army, our robust economy, our resilient society. But we haven't done it alone. Israel wouldn't be the country it is today without the steadfast support of the United States of America. All of you should be proud of the work you've done to strengthen that friendship year after year, decade after decade. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm confident our alliance will grow even stronger in the years ahead. As you know, I had an exceptionally warm meeting with President Trump last month. I want to thank the President for his strong support for Israel. I want to thank Vice President Pence for his warm words for Israel last night. The administration is showing its commitment to Israel by turning those words into policies. You see that reflector, you see that expressed in Ambassador Haley standing up for what's right for Israel and the truth at the United Nations. You see it in the budget request submitted by President Trump. It leaves military aid to Israel fully funded, even as the fiscal belt is pulled tighter. And we appreciate that. In Israel, we're deeply grateful for the generous support of the President, the Congress, and the American people. We know, as you do, that this support is an investment in our common security and in our common future, because we confront the same enemies and we defend the same values, our open societies, our respect for the rule of law, and the many freedoms we rightly cherish. These are the things that bring Americans and Israelis together. And so does the pursuit of peace. Israel's hand and my hand is extended to all our neighbors in peace. We teach peace to our children, and it's time the Palestinian Authority do the same. It must stop teaching hatred to its children. It must stop paying terrorists. It must stop denying our legitimacy and our history. It must, above all, once and for all, recognize the Jewish state. Israel is committed to working with President Trump to advance peace with the Palestinians and with all our neighbors. I believe that the common dangers faced by Israel and many of our Arab neighbors now offer a rare opportunity to build bridges towards a better future. A future more prosperous, more secure, more peaceful. And to achieve that future, Israel will stand ever vigilant, never compromising on our security, always ready to defend ourselves. We'll defend ourselves not only on the physical battlefield, but also on the moral battlefield. We'll defend ourselves against slander and boycotts. We will speak clearly against anti-Semitism from any quarter. And we will call on our friends in America and around the world to demand that Hamas free Israeli hostages and enable the Golden and Shaul families to bury their fallen sons. My friends, AIPAC is, has always been, a critical partner in strengthening the alliance between our countries. In building broad bipartisan support for Israel, AIPAC helps ensure that our alliance will stand the test of time. Your commitment to Israel makes you a part of the rebirth of the Jewish people, the renewal of Jewish sovereignty in our ancestral homeland. Thank you for standing with Israel. Thank you for standing up for Israel. Thank you for working to make the U.S.-Israel alliance stronger than ever. Thank you for helping secure the future of the one and only Jewish state. Thank you, AIPAC.
This is so encouraging.
What
My
a powerful
goodness.
Moment.
This is great.
Yes. You know, and that is the most empowering moment when you see not only America standing with Israel, but you recognize how significant it is to Israel to see America standing for Israel. Like, this is that powerful moment.
Israel stands with us. We stand with them.
Unashamedly.
You saw now President Bush make sure that, President Trump made sure that all the military aid was fully funded to them.
Yes.
And he's going to make sure that on his watch that Iran does not get any nuclear weapons. Mm. You see what we're dealing with North Korea now, and they're going to have to be dealt with. Iran must not be allowed to have nuclear weapons, or they will pose a major, major threat. Yeah. To Israel. Listen, we want to close out this prayer close out the program with prayer. But before we do, I want to read you this scripture in Genesis 12, 1-3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. We bless Israel, we bless Jerusalem, and we bless all the Israeli people. Steve, would you close us out?
Father God, we unashamedly stand with Israel. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the leaders that you have established, President Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, and Lord, we lift them up to you.
Yes.
Lord, we speak protection. We speak peace over Israel, Lord, from Haifa, Tel Aviv, Jaffa, and every city within the borders of Israel. We ask that you would give wisdom to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and all of his team, his support staff, and we bind and pull down every attack of the enemy that would seek to bring harm to Israel and bless them. But we ask, Lord, that you would end abortion, that you would send revival, Lord, and send a third great awakening, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about him, to know of him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know him. And so we want to encourage you now. This is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God. You read his word and you allow his word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what he will show you. I mean, children are abiding. And that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.